With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Texter said, are we 100% sure that Jarrah wasn't referring to the Micah Parsons trade as the already completed trade? You know what, Texter? Not once did I consider that maybe perhaps Jerry, when he said, we've already made one trade, although he did insinuate it's a trade that is going to be talked about today, I did not once consider maybe Jerry is pulling a slick Willie politician move, and he is talking about the Micah trade, but he's doing so in a way that is made to misguide and make everybody think, okay, it's okay, Cowboys fans. Jarrah is working behind the scenes. He's like Batman. He's working in the shadows for the good. I'm Jerry. I don't know, maybe. Maybe, Texter. That actually, like, I don't know if you meant it as a joke or not, but that actually might be the case. I don't know. What I do know, I know it's not a touchscreen, but now that this one is, I'm like, let me see. Maybe,
what did
maybe,
you do? I mean, that was,
something.
That was maybe quick something. Movement. Okay. I'm like, oh no, is that thing about to fall or something? What is
so maybe, honestly, Texter, like, that is a thought I did not consider. Maybe Jerry, when he said, we've already completed a trade, was talking about Micah, but just did so in a way that, was designed to make everybody think he's making moves. I don't know. We'll find out. Do I think that the Dallas Cowboys do not make a move today at the deadline? No, I do not. I think they make a move at the deadline. The question mark I have long term is going to be, is the package that they flipped for Micah Parsons, which Jerry did say when it happened. Listen, this does not mean that these picks have to be used to draft guys. We can use it as capital to go get another star. Does the haul and whatever it turns into equal out what this defense was with Micah Parsons out there running around? We'll find out. We'll find out. I will be very interested to see what comes next out of this team. I am also very interested in everything that is happening in the world of sports. By the way, really quickly, because I've gotten 2 texts about it. We are working on getting the stream up and running. Had some technical issues. We switched out some equipment yesterday, and the new equipment won't talk to the old equipment. And unfortunately, I'm very dumb and cannot figure out how to make the new stuff talk to the old stuff.
I have just notified engineering.
Yeah, so hopefully Captain America Chris Evans down the hall will come here and swoon, save us all, and we'll get the stream up and running here in just a few minutes. But as of now, unfortunately, we do not have the stream going. I am working on it. Ladies and gentlemen, you, my dear friends, now have less than 57 minutes until you, my dear friends, have to be in the office. You have less than 57 minutes until you have got to get yourself set up and ready to roll for the day. Most importantly, You have 57 minutes until you get in, get logged in, respond to those passive-aggressive emails with slightly less, but still definitely passive-aggressive emails, and then take that first important break at, I don't know, 8, 11 a.m. or so. Walk down the hallway, talk sports with your friends, your coworkers, your supervisors, your managers, your boss, your IT guy, whoever you talk sports with. And to do that, you must know what is going on. And if you must know what is going on, I have wonderful news for you. Is that we do this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about, ladies and gentlemen. This is the water cooler cheat sheet, and this is item number one. Two stories out of baseball packaged together in item number one. It is a 2-4-1 deal. You're welcome. We will start with the postseason awards. The finalists have been announced for the postseason awards in Major League Baseball. Here is what we know. The American League MVP award will have Aaron Judge looking to repeat. He won MVP honors in 22 and last year in 24. Another outstanding season this year. Topped the 50 homer mark with 53. The fourth time in his career he's done that. He led the American League in runs scored 137 times and walks 124 free passes issued. He was also the major league leader in all three slashing stats at 331, 457, 688. He also topped MLB in both the baseball reference in the baseball reference at 9.7 and Fangraph's 10.1 versions of WAR, helping the Yankees earn a wild card berth. He will be joined in the AL MVP race by Cal the Big Dumper. Raleigh becomes the seventh player to reach the 60 homer plateau in a single year, added an AL leading 125 ribbies, posted a 948 OPS and a 169 OPS plus, and did so while catching more than 1,000 innings and providing a plus level defense behind the plate. Raleigh shattered the previous records by home runs for a catcher and switch hitter on his way to 60 and helped Seattle win their first division title since 2001 and make it to the American League Championship Series. Judge and Raleigh will be joined by Jose Ramirez, the third baseman from the Guardians. Over in the National League, Shohei Ohtani is the favorite to win his third consecutive MVP award. His fourth in 5 years would put him in historic company with Barry Bonds as the only other four-time MVP in history and the only players to win MVP three times in a row. The Dodgers superstar returned to two-way play with a bang this season as a hitter. 282, 55 home runs, 20 stolen bases, 102 RBIs, and an MLB high 146 runs scored, an NL best 1.014 OPS as a pitcher. A 2.87 ERA, 62 strikeouts in 47 innings over 14 starts. He will be joined by Phillies DH Kyle Schwarber and the Mets right fielder Juan Soto in the NL MVP finalist race. For the Cy Young in the National League, the Phillies' Chris Sanchez, the Pirates' Paul Skeens, and the Dodgers' Yoshinobu Yamamoto are your three finalists. Of course, the Yamamoto won the World Series MVP a few days ago on Saturday. Yamamoto in the regular season, 12-8, a 2.49 ERA, 201 strikeouts across 173 and two-thirds innings over 30 starts for the Dodgers. In the American League Cy Young race, Hunter Brown, Garrett Crochet, and obvious winner Tarek Skubal. Skubal had a phenomenal year in 2024, won the AL Cy Young award-winning season. Did even better this year. A 2.21 ERA, a 0.89 whip, a 2.45 FIP, and a walk to strikeout ratio, or I should say strikeout to walk ratio, of 7.3-1, which is ridiculous. He also threw more innings than last year. This year, 195 and a third, recorded more strikeouts, 241. If Skubal wins, he'll be the AL's first back-to-back winner since Pedro Martinez in 1999 and 2000. Your Rookie of the Year award winners, Caleb Durbin, the third baseman from the Brewers, Cade Horton, right-handed pitcher from the Cubs. They are joined by Drake Baldwin. Sean Murphy cracked a rib in spring training. Baldwin stepped in, got the call up earlier. The 24-year-old was expected to be a fill-in. Instead, proved he was big league ready, hit 274, 19 home runs, and 80 ribbies with a .81 OPS in his rookie season. His 80 RBIs were the most amongst National League rookies and effectively made Sean Murphy a trade piece for Atlanta. Roman Anthony and Nick Kurtz are joined by Jacob Wilson in the AL Rookie of the Year Awards. In the Manager of the Year, Terry Francona, Pat Murphy, Rob Thompson of the Reds, Brewers, and Phillies, respectively, in the AL. John Schneider, who took the Blue Jays to a division title and a World Series berth, is joined by Stephen Vaught of the Guardians and Dan Wilson of the Mariners as your AL candidates. Your other baseball story for today, the Atlanta Braves have decided to change absolutely nothing and hire Walt Weiss as their manager. They waited this long to promote a 61-year-old bench coach who was part of the staff that was the problem last year to be their manager, showing that Alex Anthopoulos truly and genuinely does believe that the problem with the Braves last year were injuries and bad luck, as if every team in Major League Baseball doesn't have injuries. The 61-year-old previously managed the Colorado Rockies from 2013 to 2016. Over that time, he went 283 and 365. That's bad. He was never finished higher than third place in the division. That's bad. And he's been a member of the Braves. Now, in fairness, he was the bench coach when the Braves won the World Series back in 2021. But since then, they've taken an absolute nosedive. And now we have just decided, what if we replace our aging manager who can't connect with the next generation of baseball players with another aging manager who has already had the job once and was a, I want you to know, not only did Walt Weiss fail in Colorado, Walt Weiss failed it so hard in Colorado, he fired himself.
So what is the age limit for you that they have to, the least age to where they're okay, that they can.
Do you think, and I want you to be like genuine with your answer to this. Do you think?
Wow, that's hurtful.
No, because I know sometimes you do a wonderful job of tiptoeing a line, and I want you to be like full frontal.
At my
with
size,
this.
That's amazing.
I know, it's impressive. Full frontal with this.
Hello.
Do you think if I told you you were gun to head obligated to bet a paycheck on the ability of a 61-year-old manager to successfully communicate with the Braves team that is exceptionally young, most of them in their 20s, a couple in their early 30s, and oh, by the way, with a number of Latin American players who do not speak English on it, do you bet a paycheck that 61-year-old Walt Weiss is the guy that can step into a broken clubhouse and say, guys, rally on me?
All right, see, here's the thing, and this is not towing a line. I'm 57 years old. So when you start doing this, I immediately think, do I relate to younger people? Which I do believe I do. I think it's a mentality. It's a way you live your life. I'm old now, so I can't relate to these kids. You get down, you find out what they're into, you learn their language, and you do what you're doing. I don't think that there's an age where you cannot relate to another age. I think in the end, baseball is baseball. Baseball hasn't really changed that much in, what, 100 years, however old it is? So when it comes down to, can he still teach fundamentals, all that kind of stuff, and say, hey, you need to be here or stood there, choke up on the bat, whatever it is that I don't know if he still do that at that level. But as someone who spends a lot of time with a 7-year-old, I relate to her a bunch. I think it has to do with the mentality. It's an individual thing. I don't think you can say everyone at this age cannot relate to everyone at that age.
Here's what I can tell you. Number one, I genuinely do. This is going to sound sarcastic. It's not, I promise. Appreciate your relentless optimism. That's not a joke. I'm very serious about that. I appreciate it. Because I will tell you that when I was in my early 20s to mid-20s, I was a different cat than I am now. And despite the fact that my parents raised me to treat everyone, but specifically my elders, and I've changed my opinion on this, now you get respect when you deserve respect, not just because you haven't died yet. But when I was in my early to mid-20s, I would treat people with respect. But I got to tell you, I worked in situations with a lot of people in their 60s, because of my dad's business, that I was like, this guy sucks. I don't like being around this guy.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. That was a different kind of business.
I understand.
But I'm not trying to be personal here, but I think the fact that you haven't spent a lot of time around children, that it's a little more difficult for you.
Wait. That's not correct. I was this close to getting a teaching degree that I worked 3 years for. That is not correct. I am all of my friends' kids' favorite uncle, and I am always the one that says, I'm absolutely taking them trick-or-treating.
There is a difference. And also, when was that, 1998 or something? I mean, just... When you were doing my 20s? Teaching degree?
No, that was like 2007, dude.
Well, I mean...
1998, I was 13 years old. I don't think I was... I was the one being taught in 1998. Here's the point. The point here is, when you already had a dude who could not communicate and very clearly, and it was evident so, with the locker room and Snit, and then you just replace him with the same guy. It's the same guy.
Is this just a sport thing? I mean, look how old some of these NFL coaches are. Take Pete Carroll, and I know they're not doing real well.
Is Pete Carroll still a normal guy at 60s?
That's my point. No.
Right.
That's
the thing. You're right. Pete Carroll, young, thin, in shape, he's still got it, whatever. Brian Snicker, you saw him last year.
And Andy Reid, not thin, not in shape,
players. You've heard Andy Reid talk. You've heard the personality. I have listened to Snicker and I've listened to Walt Weiss. They have none of that. They have none of that. All right, we're going to come back to this because I do want to pick up this conversation, but we got a few more things that we need to get to. Let's get to very quickly item number two. I will just read it. Okay, Lonzo making the Matt Olson stretch from the phone to the board. The 2025 NFL trade deadline is today. It is this afternoon, 4 p.m. We have had a couple of moves. We have had rumors of a move. Jerry Jones hints that the Cowboys have made a trade. He did that yesterday on the Stephen A. Smith show. Of course, zero people reported it or have any inclination. There's not even rumors out there, and like that's just not how that works.
Secrets were kept, and it is possible to keep secrets.
Yes, as we all know, Jerry Jones, legendary secret keeper. He is phenomenal.
What if Jerry talked to one guy on the phone? Jerry was the only one in the room. The other guy was the only one in the room.
I do not believe
it is a possibility. Come on,
I do not believe that there is another GM in the league that has unilateral authoritarianism over his program like Jerry Jones does. I don't think there's another GM in the league that has that. None. Zero. None. Not even Dan Morgan has that.
I'm going to say I think Scott Veitch does to a degree.
I do not. But okay, we'll circle back around to this because...
The Green Bay guy? I don't know.
No, there's
he has to answer to a committee.
Correct. There's none. Right. He's the only one, and that is why I don't believe him. Now, we'll come back to that later. The Ravens have...
Dan Quinn. Isn't he GM and coach?
He's head coach.
Okay, all right.
The Ravens have acquired edge rusher Draymond Green from Draymond Jones.
Totally, you know, different.
What? Screw that. Draymond Green could probably play defensive tackle or defensive end if we needed him to.
He could.
Draymond Jones from the Tennessee Titans for a conditional fifth with certain qualifications. It could become a fourth. They also picked up Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins, a third-round draft pick sent to Miami for Phillips, who has 26 sacks over a five-year career with Miami. He goes to Philadelphia. The Vikings have openly said that they will not be making a quarterback move. They are comfortable with their quarterback depth despite losing Carson Wentz for the season, so they are all in on J.J. McCarthy, I guess, for reasons. That's the moves we have so far in the last day. Draymond Jones from Tennessee to Baltimore. Jalen Phillips from Miami to the Eagles. The Vikings saying they're good with the quarterback, and Jerry Jones swearing up and down the hallway that they're done. Very quickly, item number three, your NCAA. We're going to talk about this at length coming up here in a minute, so I'm just going to tell you that the first college football playoff poll drops today. That poll will drop at 8 p.m. this evening. Here in a minute, we're going to take a look at the AP poll, and we'll see how we think it's going to stack up. That being said, let's take a very quick phone call up against it, but I don't want to make Andrew wait through the break, so let's get Andrew in here now. Andrew, welcome to the show, big dog. Good to have you.
Hey, I appreciate it. Honestly, I think you're absolutely right. There's no way this 61-year-old manager is going to come in and relate to these 26 and 30-year-olds. Like, to the other point, like, there are universal experiences that we all share and can relate to people with, but culturally, he's not going to be able to relate to them. Like, his idioms and sayings and things like that, they're going to be like, oh, like, what's this guy, what does he even mean? There's no way he's going to be able to relate to them and rally a locker room. That's all I wanted to say. There's a big difference between, like, a universal human experience relating to a 7-year-old and a cultural experience relating to that.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think that's a great way to phrase it, Andrew. I appreciate that phone call.
Really quick. I looked it up. The average age for an MLB manager is 54. So that's quite a bit of a difference. Correct. And at what age does he suddenly lose the ability to relate?
It is not.
Is it 55? Is it 56? What is it?
It is the ability to share. Listen, I will say this. You want to know what the one advantage, because I like Andrew's take there, is there is a difference between being able to say, oh, you like beer and I like beer, so we have beer to talk about, versus the ability to understand culturally where you come from and why you are who you are and connect with you on that personal level. Here's the second part. And I will give Walt Weiss credit for this. There is one thing he has going for him, which is Walt Weiss was an MLB player. Walt Weiss was an all-star player. In fact, Walt Weiss was an all-star, his only all-star appearance in Atlanta. He spent 3 years with the Braves before he was eventually replaced by Rafael Furcal. I know I'm dating myself here. You know what really hurt about that? I was conscious and remember Walt Weiss playing for the Atlanta Braves. And that is why when I saw his name yesterday, I was like, Walt Weiss, okay, he played for the Braves a few years ago. And then they went,
he's 61.
And I went.
And then immediately he can't relate. But before that, until you realize his age.
I am going to say, I appreciate your stance, but I'm going to say the majority of the time, a 61-year-old cannot connect on an interpersonal level with a 22-year-old. You just come from different. I know that because I, as a 40-year-old, am having trouble connecting with 22-year-olds now, and I'm not 61.
Where's the retirement island that I'm going to get sent to when I hit 60?
Florida. It's all Florida.
Okay.
It's just Florida.
What's that place called? The Village?
Florida. Yes. Villages. Yes. Yeah. In fact, we are.
I heard it's nice.
Yeah. I mean, listen. The next time you miss a button, buddy, we've already got the pamphlet in the room, all right?
What? I've been with AARP for a while. So have you.
No, I've not been with them. They send me mail and you can stop, AARP. I don't need it. I'm not there yet. Relax. I got a few more years, you jerks. All right, we're going to talk about Walt Weiss later in the show. We are also going to talk later in the show about the NFL trade deadline. When we come back in a minute, since it's now going to be a short segment, a lot of people real mad about YouTube TV last night, and I want to talk about it. And I'm going to talk about it next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. That's a tease, people.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
right, after much shenanigans and effort and the hard work of one Captain America, Chris Evans, down the hall, engineer here. Extraordinary.
You're trying to cause division between he and I.
I would do no such thing.
I mean, I
would
know.
Do no such thing ever.
I'm sure he loves us equally. You don't need to do all that.
He sure does.
Can I help you?
No, I can help myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I did it. All right. Stream's up. Stream is up. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Fan Upstate on Twitter. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Stream is officially up this AM. Lo siento. I am very sorry for the pain in the
Lo
rear.
Lo what?
Lo siento. Sorry in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Lo siento. Now, you may siéntate at your desk and open up the stream.
Are you trying to reach the demographic that the...
I may or may not have fired my Duolingo back up recently.
The MLB manager can?
I mean, honestly, you know how much more... This is true. You know how much more I would get paid if I could if I was bilingual in sports talk radio? I'd be hired in Miami for $500,000 a year if I could speak Spanish and English.
Well, that sounds like you're being lazy then.
No, I'm just dumb. Like, once again, most of the problems in my life can very simply be traced back to the fact that I am an idiot. I've tried to learn Spanish 50 times. I get to the point where they start getting beyond, like, una más cerveza, por favor, and then I'm just out. Or...
Did you, like, order a beer?
Yes, that was one more beer. One more beer, please.
Okay.
Because I'm also polite in Spanish, you know? So, last night was fun. Because last night it got to be about 8 o'clock in the evening time. The wife, who is involved in a chili cook-off at her job today.
Ooh.
Yeah. The wife who was involved...
Why do we never get samples of that?
Oh, left me some in the fridge. Oh, she had to take it... Like, she cooked it last night. It cooked overnight to take to work this morning.
Wow.
I
bet you were hungry all night smelling that.
It sucks so bad.
That's why I hate slow cookers. I can't stand them.
I will say this. This is going to be very interesting for me. It's going to be very interesting because she made a white chili. And I'm not a white chili guy. I'm a brown chili guy. I'm a classic meat and bean, like meat and kidney beans chili guy. She made a white chicken chili. And she's like, I swear you're going to like it. And she's everything she cooks, I love.
I'm
excited about giving it a run. So she was up last night getting her chili ready for the chili cook-off today. And it got to be about 8 o'clock. And I'm over in the living room, you know, getting the show set up, hanging out with the doggers. And she's like, hey, click on over to Monday Night Football. And I was like, oh, yeah, good call, 8 o'clock. So I grabbed the remote. And I popped on the La Televisión, and as I opened up the television and I went to our YouTube TV, because on a living room TV, that's what we had. Now we got Disney, we got Hulu, we got Peacock, we got HBO Max Go Plus, whatever it is nowadays.
Netflix.
We got Netflix. We got them all. We got all the streaming services. And YouTube TV is the one for the watching of the TV. And I popped it on, and I went, where the football? Where the football? There wasn't no the football. The football was gone because, as we learned on Saturday, or as many of you learned on Saturday, I knew already, and then I forgot until I was really mad on Saturday. As we all learned on Saturday, ABC/ESPN/old Disney channels, not on YouTube TV right now because the people who run it just can't get enough money. There's just not enough money. Disney's a $75 gazillion company, but they just don't have enough money yet. ESPN, multi-billion dollar company, just don't have enough money yet. YouTube TV, Google, not enough money.
They've got to afford to be able to pay Pat McAfee
and
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, I got to tell you right now, dudes and dudettes, amigos and amigettes, I would like to say, maybe stop giving Stephen A. Smith $100 million gosh darn dollars. Maybe stop doing that, and then you don't have to charge me $39 a month for something that I already had when you were on YouTube TV.
You're going to break something else. I mean, that was a little violent.
Yeah. I got to tell you, you want to know why it's violent? Because I'm real mad right now. Now, I am not going to say, because it would be bad and I could theoretically get in trouble. I am not going to say that my wife and I utilized an illegal streaming website last night to watch Monday Night Football because screw you, you're not getting another dollar out of me. What I am going to say is that if, theoretically and hypothetically, someone wanted to do that, that would be the way to do it. It was
maddening. I wish I knew how people who are willing to do such things just automatically know where those things are.
I mean, again, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not saying I did it or I know anybody who did. I'm just saying if I was going to watch Monday Night Football, that's how I would have done it. I'm like OJ with the book, how I would have done it. but I didn't, right? It's bad. And I don't think that. I a few weeks ago on the radio program, speaking of connecting with the youth, a few weeks ago on the radio program, I brought up a word that I was told by some people is a new word that I added to the vernacular, the lingo, so to speak. And I would like to...
6'7"?
No, not that one.
Skibbity?
No, definitely not that one.
Say less?
I can get behind the 6'7". Like, I can get behind it because it's, like, ironically
or in front
funny.
Of, depending on what you... Yeah. I mean, you know.
Ironically, it's funny to me. The skibbity thing, I will punch a teenager. All right? It's terrible. You have to stop, kids. You just do better. So, the word that I brought up was in bleepification. And the bleep is the S word. In bleepification. And I don't think that the in bleepification of technology is hurting anybody more than it hurts sports fans right now. Because, as I sat on the couch last night, and I definitely did not cast an illegal streaming site from my computer to my TV in order to watch the game. I definitely didn't do that. And as I sat on my couch and definitely didn't do that, so that my wife and I definitely did not watch Monday Night Football last night. What I realized was...
So if you were to have done that...
Which I didn't.
Saying Jacoby Brissett was worth getting in trouble for.
I mean, had I done it, I feel like watching Jacoby Brissett leave the Cardinals to a win over the Cowboys, and I didn't see it, but had I seen Jerry and his dumb glasses pitching a fit, oh, hi, right next to Stephen A. Smith in his owner's box... It would have been objectively hilarious to me had I seen it, but I didn't because I have YouTube TV. Which, by the way, scratch that. I don't have YouTube TV as of last night. Canceled it because I'm going to keep it a buck. There's no reason for me to keep it because I did learn about Fubo TV last night because Fubo carries almost all the sports and almost all the games. Now, the bleepification of technology, because the people who have all the money have a problem. You know what the problem is? They don't have all the money, and they want all the money. The problem I had is I realized this last night.
I want all the money.
Yeah, we all want all the money. But there comes a point where I would like to think, and maybe this just isn't true. But I got to think there comes a point where you have so much money that you're like, I'm not going to make anybody else's life suck more so that I can get more money. And they're making our lives suck more as sports fans. I'm not even going on like the general society is questionable right now rant of Liberob the Wook Warrior. Just as a sport. Because here's what happened. On Saturday, I was out working a gig. Now, fortunate for me, I work a gig that, like, it's a sports thing, so I'm still watching all the ball and all that. But I'm out working a gig on Saturday, and the wife, who's a big Gamecock fan, was at the crib by herself. And she texts me, and she said, hey, yo, where's my game? And I thought about it. Now, I was able to, like, tell her, but I thought about it for a second. And I thought, you know, she is the type of sports fan that makes college football not great, but survive. I think she makes it great, but she makes it survive because she's the type of fan that takes you from a few million people who would watch an Ole Miss South Carolina game to like a lot of diehards who watch an Ole Miss South Carolina game, and all of a sudden that game means something to the Southeastern Conference. They get more money, they hand it to the schools get to move on and have more money to retain Lane Kiffin. We're going to talk about that in a minute too. And she had no idea where her game was, and had she not had me or someone like me in her life to text and go, where the hell do I watch my game? And then walk her through the process of getting to where it was. Again, definitely not on an illegal streaming site because that's the easiest way to do it.
You know, you're over 40 now, so it's perfectly acceptable for you to put up a TV antenna and get the local channels.
Oh, we're going to. I've canceled our YouTube TV because if I don't have those channels, it's pointless. I've canceled it second off because was anybody else more than insulted when they went, yeah, we know we just took away half your college football platform, a lot of your NBA games, et cetera, et cetera. But since that happened, here's a $20 credit to your account that you pay $90 a month for. Anybody else get ticked off about that? Because I did. So I was like, no, screw you guys, we're out. We canceled it. and I'm going to get my FUBU, and I will not have illegal streaming sites in my household to watch all the games that I can't find anywhere else. It's not going to happen. All of this came to a head when I saw J.J. Watt. You know J.J. Watt, who is actively on television as an NFL color commentator in games? He said last night on Twitter, he's like, so we're just not watching Monday Night Football, right? He's like, I know that there are ways that I could go and like dig it up and find it, but I don't think I want to do all that. If J.J. Watt is telling the people as a NFL color commentator, it's not worth going to hunt down a game, is it worth going to hunt down a game? Especially when the game is Dallas, Arizona. Like, if that's Kansas City, Buffalo, I'm putting in a little bit more effort to get there. But Dallas, Arizona? Like, is that the game that we got to go through all this for? I don't know, dude. Like, I genuinely mean it when I say, I think the inbleepification of technology in the broadcasting world has hit sports fans harder than anybody else. Y'all, we took cable and we put it into this world where we were sold it's going to be easier and more convenient and more readily available. And it's, I would argue, it's actively worse now. It's actively worse. Because now instead of, well, I hate my cable, but at least all on one cable box, now it's like, I got to have 90 different streaming services cluttering up my phone, my tablet, my computer, my Xbox, etc. And on top of that, I don't know where half the crap is anytime I want to use it. And here's the thing. This is so infuriating and enraging. I don't even think I sound like an old boomer right now. I think this is completely and totally justified because the people who are doing it are the suits and ties older than me who just don't have enough money yet. But I'm sure Bob Iger, when he retires and gets $1 billion severance, is going to be just fine. This sucks, dude. It's genuinely deflating, man. Like, the one thing that's supposed to be a break from real life, and you're making it harder for us to even have that. You can't even give us that anymore. What are we doing? Should Lane Kiffin stay at Ole Miss? Yes, I'll tell you why coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, we've all done some light meditation. We've all taken our moment of zen. And I feel better. So thanks for your concern. Let's talk NCAA football coaching for just a minute. We're going to talk about the playoff poll that's going to drop tonight at 8 p.m. Not much we can do for right now except speculate on it, which we will. But I'm very interested in the coaching carousel. We have already talked about the fact that there are 10 open Power 4 and Division 1 jobs right now. It is the most that have ever been open in season with the addition of Hugh Freeze after the Auburn loss at home 10-3 to a not very good Kentucky team. I think there's a very good chance that Mark Stoops could end up on that job on that list at the end of the year at Kentucky. And Mike Norvell, I'm still convinced, is going to be on the outs with Florida State at the end of the year. They did win against Wake Forest 42-7. They got Clemson coming up. By the way, you know, we kind of made fun this past weekend. We kind of made fun of Ohio State, Penn State, which preseason was like, that might be the game of the year in the regular season. After week one, it looked like Clemson, Florida State could be in the mix for game of the season. Clemson, Florida State is being played at 6 p.m. on the ACC network. And you go, okay, well, it's an ACC game, Rob. Here's the thing. The ACC network is not recorded by the Nielsen ratings, which means that the ACC is looking at Clemson, Florida State and saying, we need to hide this game. Games on the ACC net, while the ACC net wants to have good coverage on it, games on the ACC network are being hidden because they know that the numbers are going to crash out on them. That's where those two teams are. Trade deadline day.
Okay, according to Adam Schefter, the Dallas Cowboys are finalizing a trade to acquire Bengals ML middle linebacker Logan Wilson.
Okay. All right. I mean, he ain't Micah Parsons, but it's not a bad player. It's not a bad pickup for that spot.
Bengals are seeking a sixth-round pick, and Jerry's got a lot of picks.
Yeah. So a deal for Dallas Schefter reports Cowboys finalizing a trade to acquire Bengals middle linebacker Logan Wilson. Sources tell me and Todd Archer early Monday, Jerry Jones told Stephen A. Smith that the Cowboys had made a trade ahead of Tuesday's NFL trade deadline. It is expected to be for Wilson, for whom the Bengals have been seeking a six-round pick. Williams signed a four-year, $36 million extension in July of 2023 that still has 2 years remaining on it after this season.
So Jerry told Shefty that he wasn't allowed to talk about till today, so he could have his fun.
And for the record,
and Schefter, you got the memo.
That actually is plausible.
Yes, it
that
is.
That part's actually it's very
absolutely.
Plausible.
Absolutely.
With the whole "it's happened before" thing.
This is not me joking. This is history. So I believe that that's what happened.
I mean, it's. Listen, there is the possibility that Jerry absolutely had this trade in hand yesterday. There is also the possibility that Jerry was working on this trade, which would, so that we're clear, make sense on why the Bengals didn't say anything. It would make sense that they were working on this trade. It wasn't done yet, but Jerry just went ahead and was like, I'm just going to declare it done for the sake of saying something.
But it's not.
There's also the possibility it was just done and Jerry was being 100%.
It's not done yet.
Right. Yeah, that's That is why I'm still going to stand where I stood on Jerry Jones. Like, you haven't made the trade. You're finalizing it. You might be getting the paperwork in order, and maybe you've got it done to the point of, like, send us over the paper, we'll sign it, send it back, and this deal is done, gentlemen's agreement. But the trade's not done. So when he said yesterday, the trade is done, no, it wasn't. What I said is still correct about Jerry. The trade's not done. So, again, like, I stand where I stand with Jerry Jones. This is a good pickup, though. Like, I do like the addition of Logan Wilson. He's kind of a hard-nosed interior MLB guy. He's a dude, you're not replacing your edge rusher per se, but he is a good run stopper. He is decent in coverage across the middle. He's going to get you a
handful. How is he with the blitz? I mean, if he's a good blitzer, then you are kind of.
No, he's not. He's gotten.
That's
been.
What I was asking.
He's been with the Bengals since 2020. He has 5.5 sacks over that span. So, like, his career year was in 2022. He had 2.5 sacks. He is going to get you zero last year. But he's had 4 interceptions twice. He had 2 interceptions once. He has 0 so far this year. He has 0 sacks so far this year. He is sitting on 46 tackles right now, which has got him about on pace for around career average. His career average is about 117 tackles a season, so he's going to be in the mix for that. Like, it's not a bad player. He's more of a middle consistent role guy. Like, he is going to be a guy who demands attention so that there's less pressure on your edge rushers. He would be, you know who he would pair up really well with? Micah Parsons. He would be a perfect person to pair up with Micah Parsons. So theoretically speaking, of course. All right. So,
now I've got the line. I'm not a perfect person.
I mean, that actually is, that's a parody song we should have done after the trade. Damn, dude, we keep missing our opportunities. All right, so coaching, NCAA football. We're going to keep you up. We will break the news of trades as trades break throughout the rest of the show, and we'll give you some thoughts on the moves that have been made when we get to the end of the show. Obviously, on tomorrow's show, we'll heavily invest in the NFL trade deadline moves that get made between here and the deadline at 4 p.m. But yesterday, I was talking college football while playing a little EA Sports NHL on the Xbox. I was playing with a couple of the bros, and we were talking college football. One of them is a Florida Gator fan. Of course, Florida, one of the many, many teams that have fired their coach in the season and will be looking for a head coach next year. And Florida's kind of in a weird spot because when Florida fired Billy Napier, LSU still had a head coach in Brian Kelly. He got fired the next weekend. And I pointed out that, like, that sucks for Florida because I think it could be argued that Florida and Penn State were probably on level footing as the two most attractive jobs that were open, no matter who else was going to come open, with the exception of LSU. Now LSU is open. It might be the most attractive job. Now, I will also say, for the sake of the full conversation, as I got to get a lot in the next 4 minutes of radio, Florida should be calling and thanking Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, for putting his fingerprints all over the LSU situation. Because I think that the most attractive job in the country, the LSU job, probably isn't as much anymore. It's now bogged down. Because as I pointed out, now it feels like you're not just answering to the athletic director anymore. You're answering to the governor of the state, the guy that has ultimate institutional control over your school. Now, again, Jeff Landry either misspoke or lied multiple times when he was talking about the situation. But that, like, doesn't that kind of make it worse? Now I've got to answer to a governor who is either uninformed, misinformed, or outright willing to lie about the job that I am taking. I think the LSU job has been diminished a little bit. So, the question obviously has been, what domino falls first? And the belief has been, once Lane Kiffin makes his decision, that the rest of the jobs will start to fill up after that. We have already had a couple of ADs that have spoken out. Pat Kraft at Penn State has already spoken out about it and given his qualifications for who the next Penn State coach is as a person. John Cohen yesterday said that he is not going to put together a wholesale committee to find the next Auburn head coach. Effectively said, I will listen to football guys, but at the end of the day, I am the committee. I will make this decision. It is going to be on me. And I like that because it shows the AD like has belief that the program can be good and that he's just got to find the right guy for it. So like Auburn is kind of more attractive as a job while LSU is less. I got to tell you, I was thinking about this yesterday. I don't know that there's a reason for Lane Kiffin to leave Ole Miss. I really don't. Like, you can make the argument that Florida has more resources. And they do. Nicer facilities, more resources, more history. Here's the thing. Over the past handful of years, has Florida been relevant at all? No. Florida hasn't been as relevant as Ole Miss since Lane Kiffin got there. So they might have resources, and they might be able to offer a little bit more money. But if Lane Kiffin's telling the truth, and he's saying, like, the decision will not be money-driven by me, then I think you stay at Ole Miss. LSU, I'll tell you right now, I don't know anything, and I think that this is something that should be a pat on the back to some degree. I don't know anything about Lane Kiffin's politics. I don't know if he lines up with Jeff Landry politically or is on the opposite side of the political aisle from Landry. What I know is that's irrelevant now. What matters now is the fact that Jeff Landry is getting involved, is either misinformed or lying about the job, and is now, like, getting his fingerprints all over the job. So if you're Lane Kiffin and you take that job, even if LSU is going to pay you more than anybody else in the country, you also recognize that it comes with a set of circumstances and qualifications that are certainly different, but I would also argue probably more pressure-packed than anywhere else in the country. And I've said this a few times. If the University of Indiana can offer Kurt Cignetti a $96 million contract, you better bet your hind parts that Ole Miss can offer $96 million. And so my question is, if you're in the shoes, Gucci, by the way, I saw him at SEC Media Days rocking the Gucci tennis. If you're in the Gucci's of Lane Kiffin, Joey Freshwater, and you're looking at these jobs that are open, you're looking at Penn State, LSU, Florida, staying at Ole Miss. And you know that Ole Miss is head over heels about you right now. You can, as Matt Rhule said about Lincoln, Nebraska, do anything you want. Lane Kiffin could probably right now call up the city council of Oxford and be like, I'd like you to rename this place Kiffin, Mississippi. And they'd probably do it if that's what it took to keep him as the head coach for the Running Rebels. I think he's got to stay. And I think he's got to stay. And that is partially making the assumption that Ole Miss will find $96 million to match Kurt Cignetti or $98 to beat him or whatever. But if Ole Miss is willing to come off of making Lane the like third or fourth highest paid head coach, maybe second or third highest paid head coach in college football, honestly, I think he's got to stay. I think it'd be silly not to stay. You go to LSU, you got to deal with state government and the governor getting all up in your business. You go to the University of Florida, you might have more resources, but I would say, A, the expectations are dramatically higher. B, you're starting off in a worse place in terms of football than you are in right now. You would be taking, from the standpoint of what's on the field, Florida is a step down from Ole Miss right now. So you'd be taking a step down in terms of football talent. You'd be taking a step up in terms of pressure and expectations. And as somebody who covered that program for a long time, broadcasting in the great state of Florida, I got one more thing for you. Florida fans are wildly impatient. I think Penn State will give their next coach like a year or two to get it together. I think LSU won't, but that's more the governor than the school. Ole Miss will give Lane Kiffin as long as he wants. I think Florida fans being as impatient as they are elevates the pressure and the expectations for Lane Kiffin if he goes to Gainesville, Florida, higher than ever before. Now, I think Lane Kiffin probably fits better in Gainesville than anywhere else or anybody else. But I got to say, I think I'm staying at Ole Miss. And I think I'm staying at Ole Miss at that point, assuming they're going to pay me Kurt Cignetti money. I think I'm staying there because the program right now, talent on the field, is better than Florida. The expectations are lower than Florida. And I don't have to deal with the bull crap that is coming through the door in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The more I think about it, the more, and the point of all this is, could you imagine a world two, 3 months ago, where I would have told you, Ole Miss might be a better job than Florida. Because they have less, for a guy like Lane Kiffin, because they have less pressure, and they're going to have top three, top five coaches money in the pocket for you. Would that have made sense 2-3 months ago? Certainly not 2-3 years ago. I don't think so. Like, how wild is college football? That Lane Kiffin would be better off staying in Oxford, Mississippi than going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana or Gainesville, Florida. That is absolutely wild. Also wild is all the sports news that happened yesterday, some of which Lonzo is going to tell you about right now.
That's what I do. Wild and crazy. The Arizona Cardinals knocked off the Dallas Cowboys last night, 27-17. Jacoby Brissett started in place of the injured Kyler Murray, going 21-31 for 261 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott completed 24 of his 39 attempts for 250 yards, one touchdown and one pick, but was sacked five times. The Cowboys turned the ball over three times in the loss. That's not good, by the way. The Atlanta Braves have promoted bench coach Walt Weiss to the role of manager, replacing the retired Brian Snicker. Weiss was the manager for the Rockies from 2013 to 2016, going 283 and 365 and never finishing above third place in that division. The NFL trade deadline is this afternoon, with few moves already being made. The Dolphins sent pass rusher Jalen Phillips to Baltimore in return for a 2026 third-round pick. The Ravens also added Titans edge rusher Draymond Jones in exchange for a conditional fifth-round pick that could become a fourth.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.